Well, good things are worth searching for because it's so easy right now in the times that we live and the culture in which we live and the things that we observe in media to be cynical, to be disillusioned, to be disconnected, isolated. But good is worth searching for. The kind of good that God infused within creation, the kind of good that Jesus came to redeem, the kind of good that is a gift to you and to me. The kind of good that the world is searching for, and the kind of good that you and I can do together. And so I want to continue looking at 1 Peter, and we're going to look at chapter 3 today as we continue this conversation around the search for good, and we talk about how you and I can do good. And so we're going to look at 1 Peter chapter 3, starting in verse 8. I'm going to be reading from the Message translation. It says this, summing up, be agreeable, be sympathetic, be loving, be compassionate, be humble. That goes for all of you. No exceptions, no retaliation, no sharp-tongued sarcasm. Oh boy, he's getting us now. Instead, bless. That's your job, to bless. And you'll be a blessing and also get a blessing. Whoever wants to embrace life and see the day fill up with good, here's what you do. Say nothing evil or hurtful, snub evil and cultivate good. Run after peace for all you're worth. God looks on all of this with approval, listening and responding well to what he's asked, but he turns his back on those who do evil things. If with heart and soul you're doing good, do you think you can be stopped? Even if you suffer for it, you're still better off. Don't give the opposition a second thought. Through thick and thin, keep your hearts at attention and in adoration before Christ, your master. Be ready to speak up and tell anyone who asks you why you're living the way that you are, and always with the utmost courtesy. Keep a clear conscience before God so that when people throw mud at you, none of it will stick. They'll end up realizing they're the ones who need a bath. It's better to suffer for doing good, if that's what God wants, than to be punished for doing bad. That's what Christ did definitively. Suffered because of others' sins. The righteous one for the unrighteous ones. He went through it all, was put to death, and then made alive to bring us to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, the good life. What is it? How would you describe it? What kind of characteristics does it have? Are you living it? The good life. You know, for about 10 years, I was in youth ministry, and so often with the students, they would want to talk about what their purpose in life is. They would say, you know, what's my purpose in life? And the real spiritual ones would even say, what is God's will for my life? It's kind of something that we're all searching for, and sometimes we're even kind of talking about what kind of career that we would have, but really when we get down deeper into it, we really want to know what life is all about and how do we live it to the fullest? What does abundant life look like? And sometimes with even in the scriptures, we'll see these phrases like eternal life, and that's the question that they're asking. What is the good life? And I know that even as adults, we can ask this question. You know, sometimes even in the midst of our careers and our families and we're settled in and we might even say, you know, is this the career that I want for the rest of my life? With the years I have left to work, is this what I want to do? Is this really what life is all about? Is this how I want to spend my time? What is God's will for my life? And that's the question that this passage is addressing. As Peter is writing to these group of Christians in Asia Minor and in modern-day Turkey, he's writing to them and he's telling them, the good life is found by doing good. Because we see this in chapter 3, starting in verse 8, when he says to them, this is the point of life. This is your mission. This is your calling. This is what you ought to do to be a blessing. Now, he's writing to Christians who are facing hostility. Many of them are new Christians. They were formerly worshiping whatever local gods they have, probably worship the emperor of Rome. And they hear about this King Jesus, this God who has come to them, who, who died and was risen from the dead. And they began to believe and they followed Jesus. But then that has changed everything for them. And now they're experiencing hostility. They're being separated from their family, their social structures, their way of life. And not only are they experiencing hostility, but they would soon experience persecution. And Peter is writing to them, and he's saying to them, here's how you ought to live, even in the midst of this, when everyone is standing against you. Be a blessing. Be a blessing. He even goes on to say it in this way, that if you really want to embrace life, this is what it looks like. If you want the day filled up with good, here's what you do. Say nothing evil or hurtful. Snub evil, cultivate good, and run after peace for all that it's worth. That's what it looks like to be a blessing. And essentially what Peter is telling them is he's saying to them that they have the potential to shape the life that they're living. And not only do they have the potential to shape their own life, but they have the potential to shape the life of those around them. In Greek philosophy, they spoke about virtue. And when you and I think about virtue, we can think about those characteristics of really our character and what makes that up. And we can think about things like compassion and humility, and maybe think about loyalty or hard work, our character. And oftentimes when we think about these are traits that are private, that are kind of part of our personality, part of our makeup, and maybe we can shape those and make those up, but that's just kind of just part of who we are. But when the Greeks talked about virtue, they talked about virtus. They talked about power. That really our virtues weren't something that was just internal and just something that was private, but it was public. It was our power. It was our power to influence our world. It was our power to influence each other. It was the energies that you and I have that come to bear upon the world, that all of us have them. All of us have them. All of us are affecting our world, our families, our relationships, the decisions that we make. How do we live those? That was our virtue, our power. And a vice was a corruption of that power. So in other words, we never stopped influencing the world. The question was our powers for good or was our powers for evil? Was it a virtue or is it a vice? So the question becomes then, what shapes the powers that you and I have? What shapes the powers that you and I have to even create the good life? And that's what I think about when Peter says, if we want to embrace life, we have this potential, we have this power, and here's what it looks like. Don't speak harmful things. Snub evil. Cultivate good and live for peace. And I love this picture of cultivating good. Now, I'm not much of a gardener. I don't even really mow my own grass. But I love this idea of really kind of cultivating, because I get all the principles. I'm just not any good at them. But I kind of get these principles of working in the soil and making sure it's healthy, that there's air, that there's sunlight, that there's putting the right seeds, that there's the right conditions, that you need to water it. You need to take care of it, and when you do, you create this environment in which good can grow. And you and I have that power to create those environments wherever we are. So this past week, in thinking about the sermon series, I've kind of embarked on a bit of social experiment, because this is how I motivate myself. And so basically what I've done is, we talked about last week, is we've talked about these relationship plateaus that you and I can be on, where we get stuck in these places of, how was your day? Good. How was yours? Great. What have you been up to? Oh, not much. You know, kind of these answers that we give to each other. And I decided over this past week that I was actually going to give a little bit of an answer. You know, maybe not be too awkward, but when somebody says, hey, was your day good? I would say, yes, my day's good because, and I would fill in something that's going on. You know, my day's good because I'm going to watch my son play basketball later, or my day's good because you know, I start off the day and I listen to this great podcast, and the whole idea was to see if I could actually generate some conversation. And there were a few interactions, as you might guess, which were kind of weird and awkward. You know, people were like, oh man, okay, cool. Yeah, good to see you. All right, I was just saying hi. But then some of them, people would come back with something, and it wouldn't be a long conversation necessarily. It would be just a couple more seconds. They would kind of share something else, and then maybe we would go on. And I wasn't doing this with a bunch of random people, because that is weird. But I was kind of doing it with people that I would see pretty regularly, and you know, we're kind of stuck in these patterns, and just kind of say, you know what, I'll stop for a second and actually answer the question that they're asking and see what would happen. But what's so amazing to me is, one, it's not what I would normally do. I wouldn't normally do this sort of thing, but I started to enjoy it, and I started enjoying the fact that I was able to get a little further in the conversations than I normally would. And because oftentimes I would think, oh, I'd really like to get to know that person better. Or, you know, I really wonder what's going on in their life. And so now it became a way for me to actually do something about it, to hopefully create a little bit of good in their lives and in my life. But when we think about creating good can be a bit of a challenge, right? So when we think about creating good, the question that comes to my mind, and we can be really honest today since we're talking about good, the question that comes to my mind and perhaps comes to yours as well is, what if I don't like the people that I'm interacting with? Or how about this? What if the people that I'm interacting with aren't going to return the good to me? Or maybe we can go a little bit further, as Peter does, and say, what if we suffer for actually the good that we do? That's really the question, because for us, cultivating good is a great thing to do. It's something that we would enjoy doing as long as it's returned, but it becomes much more difficult when the environment, when the soil is rocky, it's hard, it's not really ready for our power and our energy to be at work within it. What do we do then? And the reality is, I think this is the kind of good that our world really is searching for. Perhaps the good that didn't quite make the Google video, or the kind of good that you and I know about when we're interacting with it, the kind of good that's challenged us as we've thought about this sermon series, or we really think about these words of Peter, or really what Peter is expressing to those he is writing to when the culture, when their families, when their social connections, when everything around them says not to act this way, Peter says, be a blessing to them. Do good. Because this kind of good requires a sacrifice. This kind of good is a sacrifice in our life. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 27, Jesus speaks to this when he says this. He says, I say to you who are listening, or in some translations it says, you who are willing to listen. In other words, Jesus says, this is difficult, but here's my command to you. Here's my invitation to you. Here's the reality that I want you to see and be able to walk into. He says, this is how we are to live, to love our enemies, to do good to those who hate you, to bless those who curse you, and to pray for those who mistreat you. That's our invitation. And another occasion, a person came up to Jesus and they said to Jesus, how is it that we really are to live? How do I inherit eternal life? How do I have such abundant life that begins now and lasts to eternity? Or we might even say, how do you live the good life? And Jesus replied to him, well, you know the commandments, and what do they say? And the man says, well, here's what you are to do. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus says, well, you've answered correctly, so go and live that way. And then it tells us the man said to justify himself, who is my neighbor? Because really what he's asking is, you know what, this is difficult. This is hard. What if I don't like the person? What if the person's not going to return it back to me? What if I suffer for doing good? So he says to Jesus, who is my neighbor? And then Jesus tells him the story that we know as the Good Samaritan. He says that there was a man who was traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho. And on that path, robbers jumped the man, stole his things, beat him, and left him for dead. And on that path, a priest walked by, but didn't stop, but went on the other side of the road. And then a Levite came, a temple assistant, walked down the same path, but didn't stop, but kept walking. But he says, but a Samaritan came, one who was an outsider, one who was despised, one that no one else would stop for. That Samaritan came and saw that man and had compassion, which of course is our favorite Greek word here at Table of Grace, the word splagnon, that he felt it in his stomach. He felt it in his whole being. He looked at this man, had compassion, had pity, wanted to have mercy, wanted to act. And so he picked up the man and he clothed the man. He anointed him with oil. He gave him some wine. He put him on his donkey and he took him to the nearest inn and he gave him 2 days' wages. And he said, take care of this person. Take care of all of his needs. Help him to heal. And when I stop back through, if there's any expenses, I will take care of them. And then Jesus asked the man, asking the question, who was a neighbor to the man on the road? And the person replied, the one who stopped and helped. And Jesus said, go and do likewise. And I love how Martin Luther King Jr. talks about this story in the last speech of his life called, I've Seen on the Mountaintop. And as he talks about this story, he talks about what a dangerous road this road was from Jerusalem to Jericho, how it had different turns and how it had such a sharp decline and that it was an easy place for robbers and for bandits to be there and to attack those who were traveling. And that's what Jesus was thinking of as he was thinking of the story, that everyone would know of this road and know of this path and know how dangerous it was. And so he says that when the people begin to walk by, oftentimes we think about that they didn't stop because of the religious laws, that the priest knew that if someone was dead, then he wasn't allowed to touch him, and so he would walk on the other side to preserve his cleanliness. But as Martin Luther King Jr. observed, this path was so dangerous that most likely then they didn't stop because that person could be a bandit, acting like that they were in need so that when somebody stopped that they could jump them. Or maybe if he stopped, then that would slow him up enough that those who didn't get too far could come back and know that there were others that they could take advantage of. He says, the question that they were thinking is if I stop, what would happen to me? But he says, we need to reverse this question and think about it this way. We need to think about that person and say, if I don't stop, what will happen to them? You see, doing good, doing that kind of good, requires us to live sacrificial lives. It's an invitation to us to begin to change the question, to change our perspective, to begin to see the world differently, to begin to see the good around us and to begin to step into it and to begin to take that question off of us, what will happen to us, and instead look to see what will happen to them. I think the reason why it's so easy for us to see the tragic, the difficult, the things that need to be improved, to offer critique, to even to be sarcastic, is that's a way in which we protect ourselves from being hurt. We protect ourselves from stepping into situations that are difficult. We protect ourselves from putting ourselves out there and not really knowing what's going to happen. But Jesus says to us and invites us into this place where good transforms our lives, changes our perspective, and says to us what the world really needs to see, what the world is searching for is good. And when we find ourselves in this place in which we suffer for good, or we find ourselves in this place where we sacrifice for good, or we find ourselves in this place where good is costly to us, we know that we're in good company. Because that's the kind of good that Jesus did. Jesus, who gave his life for those who could offer nothing in return. Jesus offering grace to those who may never accept it. Jesus offering love to those who would never return it. But Jesus said, "That's what I'm going to do for a world who needs it." So when we find ourselves in that place, we're in the company of our Savior who loves us and gives grace abundantly to us. Well, John Wesley gave us a way to think about this. Really a grid on how we are to live a lives of good. And he says it in this way. And this is called the Wesley rule of life, a way that we are to live our lives. And he says, this is what and how and when we are to do good. That we do all the good you can, by all the means you can, and all the ways you can, and all the places you can, and all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as you ever can. See, today, our world is searching for good. You may be here today and you're saying, "Oh, I'm searching for good. What I want to see is a little good. Just a little bit of good. That's what I'm searching for." You know, when you and I kind of think about what are we meant to do in this life? What is life all about? What is God's will for our life? It is to do good. Do all the good you can, and all the means that you can, and all the ways that you can, to all the people you can, and all the places you can. This is what we're called to do. This is what the world is looking for. This is how we are to live. Will you pray with me? So God, as we think about this good that you're calling us to, this good that you've given to us, this good that you invite us to see, to experience, this good that calls us home, this good that you've infused into this world, this good that you've come to redeem, Lord Jesus, this good that the world desperately needs to see. Lord, may the world see that kind of good in us. Lord, today by your grace, wherever we may be on our journey today, whether we're here for the first time, searching for good, searching for you, or God, maybe we're at a point in our lives where we're facing many difficulties, struggles, pain, maybe things very few people know about. And God, all we're desperate for is a little bit of good. Maybe good news. Lord, may they find that good news in you. May they know that you are near. That you've not left them or forsake them. That your love is here. And God, for those of us who are looking at this, these words from Peter to this church long ago, but it rings so true to us today that we are meant to be a blessing to this world. That God, we've been searching for the good life. We've been searching for it in so many different ways and in so many different places. But God, you have shown us that the good that we're looking for is the good that you've called us to do. To speak good to others, to cultivate good around us, to live for peace. God, may we live that good to those around us, to our coworkers, to those we may meet this afternoon. maybe in something as small as, how was your day? It can be an opportunity for us to show good to a world who needs to see something good. So God, we thank you for the good you show to us, for your grace, for your mercy, that says to us that we're not alone, that we are yours. Thank you, God. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.